Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Well, great to be here with you, my friend.
All right, we are full-fledged. It is October 10, and we are full-fledged in the fall, right? Leaves are beginning to change color, and
yeah, where you are, like you're in the middle of winter.
yeah, that's right. That's right. The first snowfall has already come.
No, in October, in Chicago, we are still enjoying the beauty of the fall.
Yes, and what's interesting is, you know, obviously, if you're a longtime listener of the New Churches Q&A podcast, I mean, this is episode 429. We usually play a voicemail of one of our listeners who've listened into the podcast, submitting that in. And if you haven't yet done that, just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and you can do that. Or if you're on your mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. So that's typically what we do. But I asked a question probably a couple months ago on Twitter, and here it was: when it comes to leading your church, what keeps you up at night? And when I submitted that in and asked the Twitterverse what they thought, John Dobbs left a great question that is not necessarily usually what we talk about on the podcast, but I thought it would be helpful, especially because in the course of church leadership, transition, discernment, making decisions, following God's leading is such a important question that we need to discern and repeat and revisit over and over again. So here it is. Wondering if I'm mistaking my own preferences for the Lord's leading. What do you think about that?
Wow. Well, I do. I do all the time. I think that's normal. As a matter of fact, I don't really know sometimes. I think back when I was younger, and you can see it when you're younger, but then you don't know. Someone once asked me, you know, what are your blind spots? I'm like, I don't know. That's why they're blind spots.
Yes,
but when I look back, I see that a lot of times there's like even church planting. Why was I so driven to plant and grow a church? You know, the first church I planted in Buffalo, you know, was, you know, experienced some moderate success. But then I really just got really just driven. And the second church in Erie really just kind of took off, and it was, I got a church planter of the year, and that was really important to me at the time. Why was it so essential to me that every Saturday I almost wanted to call everyone, make sure they were there on Sundays, or our attendance would be bigger the week before? And part of that is I wanted to glorify God and see men and women reached by the power of the gospel. And part of that had to be, I just had something in me that was driving me. I needed to prove something. I needed to be somebody, you know. And so there's always, just confessionally, you look back, you know, that's 15, 20 years ago. You look back and you say, man, you know, I had mixed, though I wouldn't say impure, but I had mixed motives but you know, so now I'm older than that, and I'm thinking, probably I still have some of those. I still want to glorify God. I still want to see people reach for the gospel. But there are also certain things, you know, I was looking at this Enneagram thing. Donna's into the Enneagram, so she made me read it. So I when I did, I mean, it says, here are your strengths, but here are the weaknesses. You need to do this and this. And I'm like, I don't like some of those things that are there. And some of those things maybe even relate to how I lead today. So in other words, I don't think that you ever... I don't know how to say the opposite of this, you know, unentwine, you know, you're always kind of mixed together. I don't think you ever separate. Here are the purity of all the motives that God would be glorified. And I'm not thinking at all of, you know, my own personality in that. On the other hand, I want less of that. You know, who was it? I forget who it was that said, you know, pride is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. And I think that's the key. So it's not like, okay, God uses who Daniel M is. And Daniel M has a certain personality and a certain, you know, quirks and attributes and characteristics. And some of them aren't all perfect. Some of them are great. And then you want to glorify God. And so just every day I want to glorify God more and be less about Ed. I mean, so I think ultimately that's the right question, but just realize you can't disentwine. I don't even know if that's a word. You can't separate those things until the other side of eternity.
Yeah, that's a good that's a really good approach to the question. I think first and foremost, it's great that he's asking.
Yeah,
the
I think
question,
that says key things.
Right. Rather than just assuming that, oh, we got to do this. Obviously, God's speaking to me. And right. So I think there definitely does have to be that question. And we always have to think about that because it's so easy to entwine, you know, what our preferences are and kind of speak that back onto God and say, oh, no, God's definitely led us this way. And so it's easy to do that because obviously we're imperfect on this side of eternity. I like how you brought up the Enneagram, though. I know there are a lot of haters of the Enneagram and there are a lot of lovers.
Oh, I get lots. Whenever I tweet about it, too. I don't tweet about love. I get a lot of people, it's a cult. And I'm like, oh, really?
I know,
see anything
right?
in there, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing to understand is it's just a tool, right? It's a tool for good or worse that helps us understand one of the layers of the onion that we are, right? So I find that it's definitely a helpful tool and definitely a helpful tool that's different than a lot of the other personality assessments out there because this one gets into the core motivation. So Ed, for you as an 8 on the Enneagram, right? And for me as a 3 on the Enneagram, right? 3s and 8s. And this is, Todd's also an 8. So this is probably why the podcast has been going for as long as it has because 3s and 8s work really well together.
I didn't know that. I'm looking at the achiever, success oriented, pragmatic type, yeah. Adaptable, excelling, driven, and image conscious. Interesting. Okay. Basic fear yeah.
so
of
as
being
and
worthless.
That's the beautiful thing about the Enneagram, right? It's like, you know what number you are when you realize, when you read through all 9 and you see the one that you hate the most. You're like, oh, how do they know so much about
that's
me?
That's so funny.
That's, yeah. So 3s and 8s work really well together. And that's why the podcast has probably been going as long as it has. And also, I don't know exactly where the source was, but I remember hearing someone say that megachurch pastors are often 3s or 8s.
I didn't know that. Right. And you're a megachurch pastor now.
And it's interesting. And well, it's interesting to think about that and think about the drivenness of 3s and 8s, right? The drivenness. And I mentioned that, right? I mentioned that because that drivenness that the 3s and 8s have are probably more susceptible to this than not.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, Donna is so much more godly than me. And I'm trying to remember what she is. If I was a better husband, I would know that. I think she's an Enneagram 1. Is that the peacemaker?
The perfectionist?
No, that's not it. I think, what's the peacemaker?
9 is the peacemaker.
Oh, that's her. Yeah, that's her.
Yes. No, I don't think there's any other number that could be married to you, Ed.
Ouch. Ouch. She's actually said similar things, ironically. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's fun. Okay, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll get back into it. Every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway, and the ERLC partnered together to create Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused. This training curriculum of a handbook and 13 videos brings together top experts from various fields to help volunteers and leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios at a church, school, or ministry. You can access this free training at churchcares.com. Once again, that's churchcares.com. All right, so when it comes to preferences, you know, wondering if I'm mistaking my own preferences for the Lord's leading. I've definitely thought that too. And I think part of it is, yes, it's great, John, that you are asking that question. I think on the other hand, are you continuing to place yourself under the word of the Lord, right? Are you continuing to spend time with God? Are you continuing to, every time you connect with God, is it just to prepare a message or is it because you are a child of God sitting before the feet of your Father, you know, trying to commune with him and learn from him and learn the ways of Jesus? So one of the most important things that we need to do on an ongoing basis, right, is make sure that we have set aside time to connect with the Lord. Recently, you know, in moving back to Canada, Ed Beulah is a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. So I had to go through a licensing interview again, right? Kind of a relicensing, making sure that my theology and praxis and all that stuff was where it should have been. And one of the interviewers asked me this, right? They asked me this question: what are you doing to make sure that you are connecting with God on a regular basis? right? And it's one of those questions that we need to ask ourselves, not as a professional minister, right? Not as a church leader, but no, as Daniel, right? Strip all the titles and all the everything aside, just as a child of God, what are you doing to connect with your father? What else do you think about that, Ed?
Well, I first would say that I think he needs to answer the question in the affirmative. The question was, am I sometimes mistaking, I don't remember the exact words, am I sometimes mistaking the Lord's leading for my own preferences? And the answer is yes. But knowing that helps you to say less of me, more of him consistently. Oh, yeah. And again, I don't know how to separate them sometimes. I mean, I want to see a church grow because people are changed by the power of the gospel. And I think the Lord wants that. Other times when he would want us not to do that, probably there might be things he's doing in our church and our life. And so that's the time when I need to probably hear from the Lord and have more of him and less of me, because I always want to see this or that. So I just think starting with the yes, I think is ultimately key. And then going from there to say, okay, how can I make it, that John the Baptist idea of, more of him, less of me. And I think part of that is, as you've said, you're talking about spiritual disciplines. You're literally talking about getting to know the Lord better. And the better you know the Lord, the more likely you are to follow him rather than your own whims and desires and wants. So I think that's a boom. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, thank you again for listening into the podcast. This is, it's such a joy for us to be able to do this together. Now we're all three of us are in different locations. Todd's in Nashville. Still the OG over there. Ed is in Chicago. I'm in Edmonton. And it's just such an honor and a pleasure to serve you. Thank you for listening into the podcast, for making the time to do this. I know you're busy and there's a lot of podcasts out there, but we do appreciate it. So
we do indeed.
So on that note, if there's a friend that you have who you think this will be a helpful episode for, we would be honored if you would share this with them. You could just hit the share button on your podcasting app or just send them the link to this episode. Yeah. So thanks again for listening in, and be sure to check us out next time.